Coming up on today's show,
if you don't engage the audience, there's going to be a barrier between you and them, and that's going to make it tougher for the audience to fall in love with you, because you want them to fall in love with you, and you want to fall in love with them.
Welcome to another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment, featuring interviews with guests who are having success in entertainment, primarily music. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking to guests who are singers, songwriters, musicians, recording artists, and more from the worldwide music community. Get in touch with me by writing to podcast@nhte.net, or instead of email, you can DM me through the @NowHearThisEntertainment Instagram account. Joining me today on location at the NAMM Show in Anaheim, California, my guest is an award-winning pop singer-songwriter who has released 7 albums and 2 EPs. Singles from his most recent album, Surrender, 2023, have accumulated over 5 million streams across all platforms and charted on top 40 radio in both the U.S. and South Africa. He has performed as an actor and singer in touring companies of Broadway musicals, as well as in made-for-TV movies, voiceovers, and commercials. He has opened for and collaborated with a wide range of artists, including Pat Benatar, John Oates, Roseanne Cash, Les Paul, and many more. You've been hearing a song of his called Surrender. Welcome to Now Hear This Entertainment, Jan Close.
Hey, Bruce, how are you? Nice to see you.
Thank you so much for taking time away from the hustle bustle of the NAMM Show to sit and talk with me today. Let's start off by having you share first with the audience all about the song of yours that was just playing called Surrender.
Sure. Surrender, I wrote with Alex Forbes during the pandemic, actually. And we were in the middle of not being able to do much, being performers and touring artists like I am myself. But Alex, who I've known for years, I've been friends with for a really long time, said, "Hey, what are you doing?" I said, "Nothing." And she said, "Well, let's write some songs." I said, "Yes, please. We have a lot to write about. There's a lot going on." So we did, and we got together and wrote about, actually on the album Surrender, 6 out of the 12 songs that are on there are co-writes with Alex Forbes. So the song really is... makes, I think, a statement. A lot of people ask me, why is it called Surrender? And what do you mean by that? Is it about giving up? And I say, no, it's about the opposite. It's about letting go. Surrender can mean more than one thing. And for me, it really was, I was at a point in my life where I decided there were just a stack of things that I needed to let go of. And I actively did it and was able to write about it and put it into the song. And it was a release. And songwriting is that. Songwriting is like a release. It's great self-therapy if you know how to utilize it. And you have to write a lot of songs to get to that place, I think, where you're so open and comfortable, not just with yourself, but also with others. And for me, co-writing really gave me a career, and it really helped open me up as well. And
So let me ask you about songwriting, because when you started into that answer, you said that you wrote it in 2020 and it was the pandemic, and she said, "You want to write?" And you said, "Yeah, please." And then you said, "There's a lot going on."
Yeah.
And I think for some people on the surface, they would look at the pandemic and they'd go, "No, there was nothing going on. How could Jan say there's a lot going on?" So I think what you're showing us is that as a songwriter, you really have to look. And like you said, kind of the concept of surrender. If you look, you're going to find ideas. If you tell yourself there's nothing going on, it's the pandemic, well, you're probably not going to find anything to write about. But I think you're saying that you did the exact opposite.
Yeah, it was, for people that do what I do, it was very difficult, because all of a sudden we were told we can't do this, we can't do that. You have to do this, you have to do that. And that's not something that I deal with well in the first place. And during that time, I really needed something. I was feeling a little bit lost, you know, sitting at home twiddling my thumbs. And I mean, I did a lot of stuff. I started the podcast, my own podcast during that time, making sound. And but the songwriting was extremely therapeutic. And I think for both of us, for Alex too, you know, I think we'd both been going through situations in our personal lives with relationships that had ended. And we had exactly the same things to talk about.
But I want to make sure that I'm doing this justice, because the temptation might be for someone to say, look, when you're a songwriter, you're challenged all the time with coming up with an original song idea, whether you're locked in during pandemic or whether you're going about your daily routine in 2025. True. But I would argue that you don't have as many stimuli when you are stuck inside for as long as we all were, as opposed to 2025 and we're all long back to our normal lives. Where do you come down on that?
I think the stimuli, as you call it, are everywhere. I think it doesn't matter if what's going on in the world, because there's always so much going on inside all of us.
Wow.
And I think either way, you have to look there. You have to, if you want to write, you have to go deep. And it took me a long time to get to that place. You know, I used to, when I was younger, I wrote much more in a protective way, I think, of myself and my private life, my personal life, what was going on inside of me. I think I used to just cachet that, you know, within the lyrics. I used to be much more, you know, looking for metaphors rather than really saying things very clearly and outwardly. And I think with Surrender, I feel like I got there, or I'm getting there.
I was going to ask you, what happened in your life when that you made the conscious choice that I'm going to make myself more vulnerable and I'm not going to protect these things. I'm going to start releasing them into my lyrics.
I think I just got better at it. You know, I think I've always wanted to do that, but I think it took a long time for me to get to a place where I felt comfortable enough to be that vulnerable. Because when you do that, you open yourself up for all kinds of criticism, which is not something that, as an artist, you know, I generally don't deal with very well, you know? But I got better
not
at that, too.
Not many of us do.
Yeah, not many of us do, but I got better at that, too, because opening up and making yourself vulnerable actually makes you more powerful. And that's the idea of surrender. You know, it's because you're letting go. It's because you're giving up, quote unquote, giving up something, that you actually become more powerful through it.
Wow. Wow. Outstanding. What a great start. That song, Surrender, is from 2023. And as it turns out, you've got some upcoming new releases. What are you at liberty to disclose in terms of what's in the pipeline? Is it singles? Is it an EP? Is it a full album? And for that matter, who are you working with? Where do you record? Any details that you can reveal at this point on what's ahead?
Yeah, sure. So I released a couple of new singles last year in 2024. One is a collaboration with a South African DJ named DJ Kosher. His real name is Colin Scher, called Love is a Verb, which I've super, like, had so much fun doing. Wrote in Cape Town with him while I was on tour in South Africa in 2023. And then the other one is a collaboration with Rachel Flowers called The Lost Kingdom that I wrote with Annie Haslam from Renaissance. And those two, I think, they're very different songs, because one is more EDM, pop, dance type of song. The other one is like an orchestral, more progressive rock piece. So that gave me an idea of creating an album, which is what I'm working towards now, that is sort of more pop on one side and a little bit more rootsy and progressive and more folky rock type of stuff on the other, so that you have basically two albums in one. That's kind of how I'm visualizing it. And then the collaborations, which is really something that I love doing. I'm now working with more artists in the U.S. The album I did before that was a lot of South African artists in tandem. And then Surrender was really kind of, you know, very limited, because there was so much we couldn't write in the way I wanted to all the time. But now I'm really starting to collaborate again a lot more with Everett Bradley is one of the collaborators I'm working with. He's a current member of Bon Jovi. He has his own project called Holidelic, which is like Parliament funkadelic Christmas music, which is excellent and very funny. And he's a great musician. He's played with, he was on tour with Seal Hall & Oates. He was in Bruce Springsteen's band. So he's been a friend for a really long time, and he's pushing me into another direction. So my favorite thing about collaboration is finding people that are opposites of me and that think differently than I do, because they will push me to do something that I may not be so comfortable with or feel scared of, you know. So I'm a big believer in like running towards what scares you, not necessarily, you know, someone with a gun, but you know, like an idea or a challenge, that, you know, something that you're scared to do, you know, or that's different, or that you're not comfortable with, or that you don't know much about.
Well, yeah, because I think if you only surround yourself with people who are, let's call them Jan Kloos clones, where's that really going to go? I think there's more originality to be discovered by taking the route that you're describing. And they do talk about opposites attract all the time. So you say, well, this is what I like to do. Let's see what you bring to it. And you probably come up with some things that happen with your songs that you could have never imagined when you started writing them. That's got to be so much fun.
It's the best because it's a surprise for me as well. You know, like my audience, I think they want to be surprised. I think everybody does. Who wants to hear the same song that they've been listening to for 30, 40 years? Yes, that's great. You can always listen to that. It's always going to be there. But, I mean, don't you want to listen to new music and discover something?
Wonderfully said. So some follow-up questions. Where do you record, and is there a timeline for the new releases that you're talking about?
Yeah, so the first couple of singles will probably come out this spring 2025. And we are recording at a place called The Coop Studio, which is in Irvington, New York, in Westchester. And then a lot of stuff happens in my home studio and in Marcus Dembinski, my producer's home studio. And he's in White Plains now, in New York.
And your home studio is?
In Queens, in Astoria,
Queens.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can do very basic stuff there. It's not a full-fledged studio, but I can set up for recording vocals and acoustic instruments and parts, keys.
I love what you said in describing, it's kind of two albums in one, because as you started to describe the sound, I thought, well, gosh, he's doing two very different genres.
That sounds like a
from
mess.
One another. Well,
it won't be.
But, you know, I think there's something to be said for growing your audience in that way, because you're going to have people that come to you because they like this that you're doing, and they have people that come to you because they like this what you're doing, and they're all Jan Kloos fans, as opposed to if I just do this one thing and there's people that don't like it, I got nothing else for you.
Yes. I don't like listening to records where every song sounds the same. I get bored very quickly. So I want variety, and I want some eclecticism, you know. I want to hear instruments that I may not know, that I've never heard, that play a role in or can play a role in pop music or in contemporary music. And I want to be excited, you know. I want to go, what was that? What was that? I don't understand this. This is new. This is different. Like, that's what I want. I want familiarity too.
Sure.
And I think we all do, you know, but I also want some excitement.
But I love that you're flexing your creative muscle in that way, because they always say that there are no rules when it comes to songwriting. So where are the rules that say you can't do that, Jan? Your entire project has to all be in the same genre. You're going, well, I'm going to do it in this, and I'm going to do it in this. And if I'm looking at it from a traditional method, a traditional model, I'm thinking of literally a physical vinyl album where you go, well, this side is this style, and flip it over, and this side is a completely different style.
Yeah, you know, surprisingly or not surprisingly, the music industry doesn't necessarily feel that way. You know, it's very formulaic still. Not everywhere anymore, you know, but that's something that I think, you know, as an artist, I want to do what gives me joy.
Audience, 3 weeks ago on episode 571, you heard me talking with singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist Philip Bowen, who was a semi-finalist on America's Got Talent in 2023, the same year that he won TikTok's Greatest Talent. Last year, he released 4 singles and was a feature on 6 others. I asked him how he gets all those collaborations. And Jan, in your case, you started to go there. You've got your hand in several international collaborations. You can revisit the two that you mentioned, but just tell us more about some of those and how these came to be, and if that's by design or if it's just a coincidence that they're international collaborations. Now that we've established that you live in New York, I guess that the other way to ask the question is, why not just people in New York or in the United States?
Well, yeah, so some of it is by design, some of it is coincidence. And the design part is I love to travel. And because I tour internationally, I get to travel, which is a great blessing. And through that, I get to meet a lot of people that I otherwise wouldn't have. So there's always this element of chance. But I look for situations where I'm going to be surrounded by other creatives and find people that are different than me or smarter than me. You're like, really?
Don't be the smartest guy in the room, as they say.
Yeah, there's no point. You know, I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to change, you know. So a lot of it's very intentional when it comes to that. And I'll talk to anybody, you know. Like, I mean, people send me stuff online all the time. I don't get to hear all of it because just of time. But I love discovering new talent. You know, I just discovered some here at the NAMM show, you know, where we are right now. Some people I already know or I've heard of them or I've worked with people that they've worked with. It's a small world, you know, the business. So, but I think it's really important to bring in new talent and to look outside of that circle that you're already in, because it becomes very insular. Once you have some level of success, you know, it sometimes feel like there's a little bit of a wall going up and you think, oh, this is familiar. This is, oh, I've done this before. I know this. I know what's going on. You know, it becomes safe. And I don't want to feel that way. I want to feel unsafe. You know, I want to be challenged and I want to challenge others, including my audience.
Just give us some names. You mentioned two of them before. You can repeat them, but some of the specific international collaborations that you've done.
Some of my favorite ones are the South African artist, Tamara Day. We wrote a song together in 2016 called You and I. It was on my In Tandem album, which came out in 2018, and she featured on it. And then she did a remix of it, and it became a number one hit in South Africa a year ago.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
7 years after its original release, you know. So the beauty is you never know what's going to happen, you know. So Tamara, Annie Haslam, of course, I've done a lot with her, Renaissance. She's British, but lives in Bucks County in Pennsylvania. DJ Kosher, Colin. Rachel is amazing. Rachel Flowers is an incredible talent. She's actually California-based, progressive rock singer, songwriter, keyboardist, flautist, fantastic artist. I mean, there are a lot. I could go on.
Well, this is cool. This is how the music industry works. This is, as Jan is alluding to, audience, how small the music world is. He mentioned Seal, and many years ago on this show, I interviewed Dozat St. Marie. They were supposed to be here doing the interview with me at NAMM, and as things happen, because it's so crazy busy around here, we weren't able to do it in person. We ended up doing it remotely. Anyhow, one half of Dozat St. Marie, he went out and sang on tour with Seal. I actually just went and saw Dozat St. Marie. They came through my part of Florida. They were in Orlando a few months ago. I went over and saw them. So you see how there's kind of that 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
This episode is being released just a couple days after I will have returned from Northern California, where I will have just been a speaker at the 21st San Francisco Writers Conference. I am always eager to meet listeners of this show, which is why I so happily give out dates and locations of where I'm traveling to. It's because I want to say thank you in person for the time that you give to Now Hear This Entertainment. At the end of next month, I will head to Chicago. It has been way too long since I've been to the Windy City. Podcast Movement Evolutions starts there on March 31st. It goes until April 3rd, but I won't be there that last day because April 3rd to the 5th, I will be in what I call the real city that never sleeps, speaking at the Las Vegas Writers Conference. That is for writers of literature, books, not music. Go to LasVegasWritersConference.com for details and to register to attend. Keep up with this show, the weekly e-newsletter, and the Instagram and TikTok accounts for more about my travels so that hopefully I can meet you somewhere and say thank you in person for listening to Now Hear This Entertainment. Jan, this episode is also coming out shortly after the Grammys will have taken place. Folks, Jan, incidentally, has songs that were heard on the Grammy-nominated Healthy Food for Thought compilation, so it's fitting to have you on the show around Grammy time.
Yeah, hey, it's Grammy time every year, which is good. And I've been a voting member now for a couple of years for the Grammys. And, you know, I get invited to go to the Grammys. I can't go every year. But, yeah, no, it's a great organization. And it's so big. There are so many people involved. So it gets hectic, just kind of like NAMM show here. There are so many people here. But I think the thing to keep in mind with awards, and, you know, I'm not one of those people that is hunting an award. I don't find that interesting. I want to spend my time being creative. It's great to be rewarded for that work, but I try not to get into that mindset of, oh, I got to have this, I got to, you know. So that's my comment on awards.
So are you saying that even though you have songs that were heard on the Grammy-nominated Healthy Food for Thought,
yeah,
is it, I'm proud of that. It's nice to put on my website and I have a podcast to say, but I don't go around leading with, hey, guess who I am?
I really try not to. Again, I think if you keep it about the work, at the creative part of it, all that other stuff will come, you know, the money, the awards, all of that, you know. I loved being part of that record because of so many people that were on it, and there's so much talent on it. The music's great, Healthy Food for Thought. Kevin Mackey, who led the effort, is a good friend of mine, and they do it for the right reasons. You know, they raised a lot of money for charity, you know, through that record. Mm. And they got some great artists on it, you know. One of the best parts about going to the Grammys is the pre-awards show. It's not the actual awards show. It's the pre-awards show, which is a lot longer, a lot more relaxed, and everybody is there. And everybody's just hanging out, you know? So you'll just run into people, and it'll just be like colleagues. But it'll be, you know, Jeff Beck and it was. This was like when I was there 10 years ago. And Jackson Browne and Bonnie Raitt. And you know, like just walking around, you know. And
wow.
And you can just say, oh, hey, what's up, you know. So, like, that part is nice. That all of these people are in the same place at the same time. So, like, the NAMM show is the same thing. You
it's
know,
a
like
big fraternity.
Everybody is there at the same time. So, and it's hard to meet people and see people, because everybody's so busy the rest of the year, you know?
Yeah, so that's a great place, a great opportunity for it. I love that you are using the full palette. In the 2012 film Greetings from Tim Buckley, you served as the singing voice of Tim Buckley. In more than 570 episodes of this show over the last 11 years, I can probably count on one hand how few people have gotten a unique opportunity such as that. Fun gig, tough gig, clearly very different from any other type of singing work you've done.
Yeah, that was that kind of just presented itself, and I got on that horse and, you know, rode it. You know, like, that's kind of how it happened. I was working with Gary Lucas at the time. I was making a record with Gary Lucas, guitarist Gary Lucas, who had a band called Gods and Monsters. He still has the band, and Jeff Buckley, Tim's son, was the singer in that band. And in the late 80s, 90s, before Jeff started doing his own thing. But during that time, they wrote a couple of songs together that ended up on the Grace album. And then later on, I worked with Gary on a record. And while we were doing that, they were making a couple of movies on Jeff. And this one was the first that was out of the gate. And they were looking for someone to cover the vocals for Tim. And he said, hey, are you interested? And I said, am I? Am I ever? You know? And I did it. I learned all those songs over a weekend. And I auditioned. I was the only person. They never saw anyone else. I did the audition with Dan Algren, the director. They didn't see other people. They hired me on the spot. So it was meant to be. You know, it was one of those things. It just kind of happened.
But still, though, was it fun? Was it tough? Was it both?
The sessions were really tough because they didn't record to a click. I play guitar as well. So anytime you see the guy playing Tim Buckley, Ben Rosenfield, when you hear or see him play, you hear my voice and my guitar playing. And because they didn't record to a click because they were live takes, I had to kind of move tempo with him.
Wow.
Which was tough.
Wow.
And I worked with, it was Steve Adabo. He has a studio in Manhattan called Shelter Sound. And that's where we recorded the parts. And
so just give us a picture of that. Does that mean that you were watching the
yes.
film and you were
playing along
singing
to it.
And playing as you're watching what's happening on the screen?
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That does sound very tough in terms of the timing, like you say.
It was.
Mm. Was there any way that you could prepare for that, knowing that those were going to be the parameters, or is it that's how you prepare? You know that there's no click and you just...
Yeah, not really.
Wow.
I don't know how one would.
Mm. There's a question that gets asked by a ton of people, except for me. I pull this out once in a blue moon on this show. You're going to be one of those rare times. What are you currently listening to? But also, perhaps this is more relevant, how do you find that you discover music in 2025?
Wow, that's a good question. It's
tough. I'm going to filibuster to give you time to think about that and what you're listening to these days. But I'm a big Shazam guy. I find that if I'm out somewhere in a restaurant or whatever and I hear a song that catches my attention, I right away grab the phone and I get the Shazam app opened.
Yes, I love Shazam, actually. I use it a lot. I go with what people tell me. Because I'm in the business, I meet a lot of people, so I discover a lot of music just by rubbing elbows, so to speak. Mm. But other than that, I, you know, sometimes Apple Music will put stuff in front of me. Sometimes there'll be a playlist that I listen to, and I'll discover something through that. But it's a lot of it is just by being in the business and being exposed to music, or friends saying, hey, do you want to go see this artist? You know, I heard this is a good show. You want to go check this out? You know, I have tickets. Let's go.
But still, though, I'm interested to know what you're listening to these days, because I wonder if you try to stick within your own genre or if you're listening to stuff that will be surprised to hear.
Oh, yeah, I listen to really obscure stuff. I look for stuff that's not in my genre. In fact, most of the music I listen to isn't. My favorite record of the last year was Michele Ndegocello's new album.
But are you listening to music that's not in your genre just for enjoyment, or is it I'm trying to be inspired to see what it might do for my writing?
Both. Okay. I look for stuff that I want to be surprised, you know, I do. And I want to expose myself to really good writers, you know.
Wow.
And that it's not just music, you know, it's also reading, you know.
Okay.
Books or, you know, articles.
Brilliant. I love it. I'm joined today on location at the NAMM Show in Anaheim, California, by award-winning pop singer-songwriter Jan Close. Visit his official website at janclose.com. I will have a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. At the start of this episode, we played the title track from his Surrender album. Go into the shop section of janclose.com to order it on vinyl or CD. There are also CDs there of previous releases. Of course, the usual digital suspects as well, iTunes, Spotify, you know how to find it. New York, Jan will be coming your way February 16th and 21st. Look in the shows section of his website or use Bands in Town to get the details. Social media-wise, he is on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. Look for logos at the bottom of janclose.com to link over to those. You heard me mentioning before about returning from San Francisco, going to Las Vegas at the start of April. In mid-January, I was in Orlando. All of these are places where events were held or are being held, with yours truly being a speaker. There are at least two more that I know of but haven't announced yet, plus something like three others that I'm waiting to hear back from. If you are, or someone you know is, interested in having me come be a part of your event, I strongly recommend you or they visit speakerbrucew.com. It's an entire website devoted to all the speaking that I do. There's a video on there, a list of location and events I've spoken at, and more, plus, of course, an opportunity to contact me. Again, check out speakerbrucew.com. Jan, last week on the show, we heard Brian Grilly talk about what 2020 looked like for him in terms of how he kept things going music-wise despite the pandemic. You started to mention this earlier, but share with the audience about your podcast that you started in 2020.
Yeah, so I started a podcast called Making Sound, and basically started calling all my friends in the biz and said, hey, you know, I'm doing this podcast. What are you doing? To which they all replied, nothing, the same thing you're doing. And so I got to book several artists right away and was able to record a few episodes before I published it. And it does really well. You know, I don't do as many episodes now anymore because I'm back to touring. And
what were those conversations like, though, on the Making Sound podcast? What's the content that you're discussing?
You know, it's very conversational. So it's because I'm not a big fan of interviews, other than the interview with you, Bruce. I want it to be kind of like artists hanging out backstage and having a tea, having a coffee, having a drink, having a cocktail, whatever, and talking about what's on their mind. Like, I really try to get into their hearts and their minds, you know. I want them to talk about stuff that they wouldn't usually talk about. Like, I want them to forget that there's a microphone in front of them. That's what I try to get to. I don't get that every time. It's kind of, it's hard to do because people have to trust and open up. And but a lot of artists are good about that because what they're talking about is something that's already a creative side of who they are. So it's actually quite easy. And you just have to make them comfortable. You know, you just have to get them to feel like they're safe and they can talk about whatever.
So in other words, and even though it's called Making Sound, it's not about songwriting. It's not about recording. It's not about making sounds. It's not about certain instruments. Yeah. It's very just, you know.
Yeah, hey, that's only a front. I'm just, you know, I just want to find out what they're thinking about and what they're feeling. Like, that's what I want to, you know, I want to get into their head.
And interestingly, audience, one of Jan's guests was Mark Farner, who was a guest on this show 7 weeks ago on episode 567 from Grand Funk Railroad.
I love that guy.
I was going to say, I'm sure you had as much fun with him as I did.
Yeah, he's awesome, man. We had a great chat, and we kept in touch. Now he texts me all the time now. You know, he sends me links and stuff, and he's like, "Happy Thanksgiving, you know, brother, what's up?" I love that guy. And he invited me to his show and, you know, gave me a big hug, and we just got on really, really well. And he has this wonderful mantra that I use, and he says, "My one and only master is love. Love is my one and only master." And I thought, that's really a great way to live and to think. Because if you begin there, you know, I think you can improve your life and the lives of everyone around you.
But you see, the fact that he's texting you, I loved that you talked in the first half of the show about traveling and all these collaborations that you find yourself in because of the people that you meet.
Yes.
So just like with myself, if you hadn't have started the Making Sound podcast, you'd have never met Mark. You wouldn't be texting with him, and you never know what might come of that someday.
And actually, I have a great example because this Sunday, I mean, this will already have happened by the time your show airs, but John Mayon, who is a longtime member of the Elton John Band, percussionist, singer in the Elton John Band, John Mayon, M-A-H-O-N, he was a guest on my podcast. I met him through a student of mine, a voice student of mine, who connected us from Ohio. He's from Ohio, and I was an exchange student in Ohio. And it's crazy. And he came on the show. He came on Making Sound, and he came on a couple of times. And while he was on tour with Elton, and we had a great chat, and we stayed in touch as well. And he's here in L.A., and I'm playing in Venice on Sunday. And I said, "Hey, you want to sit in and do a couple songs?"
Gosh.
And he was like, "Yes, please, let's go."
So cool.
So he's playing with me on Sunday. And
so cool.
You know, like, there you go.
You were raised in Kenya, South Africa, Germany, and the U.S. I obviously am someone who has logged a lot of frequent flyer miles, but you, Jan, must certainly have some travel stories of your own.
Too many. I mean, where do I start? Travel is, it's a lot of fun and it's very exciting, but it's also really tough too physically. You know, like, in literally the last week I've been in 9 different time zones.
Whoa.
You know,
you did mention right before we started that you were in Germany last week.
Yeah, I was in Germany. I played Hamburg, played Berlin, flew back to New York, and then flew to LA 2 days ago. So, you know, it gets a little messy sometimes, you know, it confuses your system. But I've gotten really good at catnaps. And it works out, you know, as long as you have balance. You know, if you, as artists, especially if you're touring, you know, you kind of burn the candle at both ends. And as long as you get to a point where you say, okay, today I got to just go for a swim, go for a run, you know, I'm big into exercise and all of that. So just create balance. If you create balance, it's doable.
I should have been documenting these as we went along, but that's probably the third time so far in this episode that you've answered a question that I had in my head as you were talking. Before I could even ask it, you answered it, because I was going to say,
I'm so sorry.
No, that's great. I think we're certainly on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
Because I was going to ask you what your advice is for a creative of how to find that creativity at a time when you might be really burned out, at a time when you might be on the road a lot. And you're saying you do have to take a cat nap. You do have to go for a swim. You do have to go for a run. You do have to shut your engines down for a while and say, if I don't have to, I can't be creative right now for the next couple hours, because I do have to take care of my body first.
Yeah. That's it. If you have to do it, you know, and it's really tough sometimes, you know, you don't feel like going for a run or going for a cold plunge. Like I did a cold plunge yesterday on purpose.
Oh boy.
Because I realized that's going to give me a nice refresher.
Mm.
And it did, you know, and I had a show and it was, you know, I'd been up for, I don't know, you know, 20 hours.
Well, and here's what I think is going to happen, and you're in a better position to speak to this than I am, but I think if you force yourself and you say, I can't take a nap, I can't go for a run, I got to be creative, I got a song right now, the song is going to not be that great, and when it comes time to actually do something with the song, you're probably going to rewrite it so much because you wrote it at a time when you forced yourself instead of sleeping or going for a run or whatever, that now you really kind of wasted time. That wasn't a good productivity exercise.
If you want to write, if you want to be creative, you have to be in a good headspace. You just do.
There's something that I observed that really stands out, both in terms of when a performer does it as well as when someone does not. I'm referring to audience participation, which I know you're a strong proponent of. Talk about that, including, like I said, what an entertainer might be missing out on by not taking advantage of that.
Well, I think if you can engage an audience, you create communication. It's just like talking. If you don't do that, if you don't engage the audience, there's going to be a barrier between you and them, and that's going to make it tougher for the audience to fall in love with you, because you want them to fall in love with you and you want to fall in love with them. You know, you want it to be that kind of an energy and experience for everybody. You want it to be joyful. You know, that's what music is supposed to do. We have so many things in our lives that are negative. You know, all you have to do is turn on the news. But music takes us away from that, and it's a great language for that. It's a great language for bringing people together of all backgrounds and all beliefs. You don't have to agree, you know. You're not gonna have that kind of a fight, you know, at a music show. We're all gonna sit next to each other and enjoy what it makes us feel when we hear a great song or watch a great performance.
Yeah, and if you're a performer who goes on stage and you sit on a stool with your guitar and you look over the tops of people's heads or up above that into the lights and you don't make eye contact with them, you don't engage the audience, you're going to just kind of put it on wash, rinse, repeat mode and do that show, and you're going to walk off stage, dare I say, feeling unfulfilled.
Don't expect the audience to like you automatically, ever. If you do that, they're likely not to. You have to give them the same respect that you are expecting from them.
Yeah, and I mentioned a few minutes ago all the speaking that I do. If I went out on stage somewhere and I just spoke and didn't make eye contact, I didn't ask questions, as opposed to even you just the occasional statement where you say, right, and you wait for the audience to respond, or you say, show of hands, how many people hear XYZ? Even though you're talking to them, you could almost argue that you're talking with them, as opposed to he just stood up there and talked at us. He never engaged us at all, and it's the same thing. If you're inviting the audience into your songs, come on, clap your hands. Come on, get on your feet for this one. It's probably a world of difference for you being on that stage.
Totally, and it doesn't matter whether they actually do it or not, you know? It's just, it makes you
Why
feel...
Why not?
Because, like, you know, some people don't want to get up and dance, but I'm giving them permission to do it.
Okay.
And they can if they want to, but they don't have to. Nobody has to do anything. You know, but I'm giving permission for everybody to relax and take a deep breath and enjoy the moment.
But what is your advice to the performer who's listening to our interview and is saying, I would be too nervous that I would say, clap along, and nobody claps along, and now I'm up there playing and it's in my head, nobody's clapping.
So what? It doesn't mean that they don't like you. Maybe they're just shy. Do it again on the next song. Sometimes some audiences take a lot longer to engage. Not every audience is going to be the same ever. Every show is going to be different. Every show you play is going to be different. I just played in Hamburg and in Berlin, okay? And German audiences are generally super fun. And they love singing along and clapping and dancing and howling. I mean, they're very vocal. And I love that.
I'm waiting for you to say, but.
But. So in Hamburg, my Hamburg audience was just on their feet, like, you know, on the second song, you know, like they were practically there with me, like from the first note. In Berlin, it took a little longer.
Okay.
You know, like they were a little bit more subdued and they were a little shy at first. But I just said, like, hey, you know, like, it's okay, guys. You know, let's have a good time.
It's a different audience. It's a different night. It's a different venue.
Exactly.
Okay.
You know, and it also city energies are, some cities are different than others. They all are. You know, local culture is different.
Mm.
And that goes from everything from just anything that you want to connect with on people culturally, it can be very different from city to city. And it doesn't matter. You know, you can't have that same expectation. Not every audience is going to be on their feet and jump up, you know. Some of them, they want to dance inside.
Well said. Audience, I've been holding out on you because Jan, wow, a combined total of more than 1.8 million combined video views on your official YouTube channel. Talk about putting a priority on music videos.
Yeah, so streaming, I don't really care so much about streaming numbers. I don't know how important they are because I think there's so much passive listening now. You know, people just like press play and I don't even know how closely most people pay attention. They listen to music at work or they listen to music in the car. I think audiophiles, people that are very into it and, you know, really get deeper into the music and, you know, they pay close attention. But I think a lot of music now, because there's so much of it and it's so easily available, just kind of plays in the background. But with video, you still have to engage people because you have two of the senses. You have audio and video. So people have to put those two things together and you have to present it in a way that those two things work together. And I love doing that. You know, I'm like part of the MTV generation. You know, I remember music videos, early ones, you know, early music videos, videos in the 90s and you know, in the 80s and the creative elements that went into it. It was like filmmaking, you know. It wasn't just making a music video. We called it music video, but it was like a short film, you know. And I think for me, that gives me another creative avenue. And I love the visual aspect. And I think just because I've been so exposed to it, you know, so I do care about that. I think it's important.
Nicely said. Nicely said. When I was giving out all your online destinations, I mentioned that you will be in New York, two dates in February. Specifically, though, one of those is not a performance. Share with us about putting on masterclasses.
Right. So I started doing this last year. I do a friend of mine turned me onto this. His name is Robert Russell, and he does acting workshops, and they're free. And, you know, it's a great way to engage new talent and to also gauge what's going on out there, like what people are looking for inspiration musically, artistically. And so I started doing these masterclasses on for singers, performers, and songwriters. And I do them twice a year. I think I'm going to do them twice a year, once or twice a year. I'm doing a second one in February, February 16th. In Manhattan at my voice studio, and it's free. Anyone can come, and you can just, you know, we can hang out for like 3 hours. It's an intensive, and I get a few people to come up and sing, and I critique them or give them advice. You know, I don't like the word critique. It's sort of negative sounding, but, you know, like I try to give like a some advice on how I think they could improve, or a lot of people just want to know how it works and how you overcome stuff, you know, and how you can create a career and have like a sustainable career in music, which is really hard, especially in the last 20 years, you know, since I've been in it. Streaming has changed everything. You know, there's a whole income stream that is gone, you know, so you have to really get creative and you have to understand the business too of music. So I talk about that too, you know, what publishing means and ownership.
Wow.
And how all of these things, how money flows basically now versus how it did, you know, 20, 30 years ago. So it's really fun. It's really relaxed. And anyone can come, you know.
Last night you performed here for the NAMM show.
I did.
Was that solo Jan Close? Was it a band? What did that look like and how did it go?
Oh, it was great. It was packed. It was a lot of fun. I had Tony Polizzi with me on guitar, who is a longtime friend and who's played with everybody from Natalie Cole to Stevie Wonder, to George Benson, American Idol. He was on the house guitarist on the TV show. And he's a great friend. He played guitar, myself. We ran some tracks and it was awesome. It was we did 8 songs. And it was super fun, you know. I think it was nice that it was Wednesday night because it's before things kind of get crazy and there's a lot of distractions. So I felt like we had a really captive audience. It was a lot of fun.
But I would think that the other nice part about it is that now that's behind you and now you can, after this interview, now you can walk around and see all the exhibits, talk to vendors, and do what people do at the NAMM show.
Yeah, yeah. So I, you know, have a couple of meetings planned and going to go see some friends that have booths or are in the creative field, or, you know, I saw my guitar guys of Martin Guitars. I'm going to stop by Yamaha, a couple of other places, you know, so it's going to be fun.
You told me before we started recording today that you've been coming to the NAMM show for many years. You strike me as someone who doesn't come with a quote-unquote shopping list, meaning I need to see this one, this one, this one, because I'm sure you're probably just like your music, where you probably avail yourself to, I'm going to walk around and see what I don't know and find out what's been introduced that I haven't been made aware of yet and I can see, put my hands on here at the NAMM show.
Yeah, follow your nose, you know. Move forward. Just walk around and see what happens. You know, someone will stop you and be like, oh, hey, what are you doing here? Oh, well, I don't know. Same thing you're doing here. What's been happening? You know, so it's great.
We're going to close today with another one of Jan's original songs, one called Love is a Verb. You referred to it earlier in the interview. Before I let you go and we play that track, though, Jan, share with the audience first all about this one, if you would, please.
Sure, yeah. I talked a little bit about it earlier. DJ Kosher, Colin Scher, I met him at a BMI writers' camp in Cape Town years ago, and we didn't get to write together, but we kept in touch. And when I was on tour in South Africa in 2023, he said, come by my studio and let's write. And I said, let's please do it. That's great. And we came up with that track in like 2 hours and created a basic track. And I wrote a verse. We wrote a verse together. He had the idea for the chorus. He already had it.
I was going to ask you who came up with the hook.
Yeah, that was his idea. Love is a verb, you know. How do we exercise love and not just talk about it? How do we show someone that we care, you know, rather than say it? And that's at the core of the song. And then we finished it remotely. You know, I was in New York and I recorded my vocal there and finished the second verse. I wrote the second verse lyrics. And then Marcus Dembinski, my producer here in the U.S., recorded the vocal with me, and we sent it to him, and he dropped it into the track. And then it came out, and it charted for like 4 months, and they're still playing it. Yeah.
Too cool. Too cool. You're an international man of mystery. I'm so glad to have met you, and I appreciate you making time to be here.
Not so mystery. Not so mysterious, I don't think. But yeah.
Thank you for making time to be on Now Hear This Entertainment. Great to meet you.
Thank you, Bruce. Yeah.
Folks, with that, I will wrap up another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment. My sincere thanks to award-winning pop singer-songwriter Jan Close. Again, do visit his official website at janclose.com. As I mentioned earlier, I will have a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. Do check out the store section of his website where you can get a vinyl or CD copy of Surrender, his 2023 album. Remember, too, that you can also order physical copies of other releases from his back catalog there. You just heard him talk about masterclasses. This coming Sunday, February 16, he will be putting one on West 48th Street in New York at 1 p.m. Go to the shows section of janclose.com for more details or to Bands in Town. On February 21st, he will be doing a full band show, a free event, at the Port Washington Public Library. Last night, I followed Jan on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, and I'm sure he would appreciate you doing the same. You heard him talk about his successful and popular YouTube channel. Be sure to subscribe to that. For that matter, tell Jan you heard him and his music on Now Hear This Entertainment. I really appreciate you tuning in to the Now Hear This Entertainment podcast. If you're still with us at the end of the episode, I'm guessing that you're enjoying what you're hearing, so thank you for sticking around. If you would like to show your appreciation for the work I put into making this show happen week after week, year after year, 11 years now with no breaks, I've got an easy way for you to do so. Head over to nhte.net, where you will spot a bright yellow Buy Me a Coffee button. It's not a sponsor, and there's no brand behind it. It's a simple way for you to send a little support my way with a personal message that I will see. Alternatively, you can go directly to buymeacoffee.com/BruceW. Your support means the world to me, and I thank you in advance. That's going to do it for episode 574. Thanks ever so much for listening. I'll send you out today with another song from Jan Close. This is the one he just talked about. It's called Love is a Verb.
I won't give you words. I'll show you how. I won't wait to take you. We'll go now. When you touch, you will feel. When you hurt, you will heal. When we're sad, we'll cry together. Keep you warm.
Love is a verb, not just a word. Love is a verb, not just a word. Love is a verb, not just a word. Love is a verb.